week's Sedra, Parshas Shlach Lecha. After the Meraglim returned from their spying out the land and returning with a bad report, so they tell the people, oh, we can't do it, we can't conquer the land, they're all upset, and the people decide to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. They cried that night. They all complained against Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you doing, Moshe Rabbeinu? You take us out of Mitzrayim. It's better we should have stayed in Mitzrayim, taken us out here in the desert, and now we're going to be just killed. And it's better we should have just stayed in Mitzrayim. So what's Moshe's response? So this, Vayipol Moshe Aharon al pneihem. They fell on their faces. Lifnei kol kasad es bnei Yisrael. There's a very strange Ibn Ezra here. Ibn Ezra says one word. When it says that Moshe fell on his face, says Ibn Ezra, birtsono, which means willingly. Very strange. One word. Birtsono. What is that supposed to mean? That Moshe fell on his face willingly. In other words, what? As opposed to, he didn't trip over a rock and fall on his face. No, he willingly, prostrated himself. Of course, Ibn Ezra is trying to machadish something, right? I would think that he tripped. I mean, come on. What's this beard so no? Find it also by, in Parshas Korach as well. When, Korach came with the tinies against Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Aishma Moshe Vayipal Alpana. Again, says Ibn Ezra, beard so no. Willingly. Of course. I mean, what else? An answer I'd like to mock me with a couple of interesting stories. One is a mice of a woman that from Kiryat Arba. She arrived at Tachanah Merkazit in Yerushalayim. She had a number of errands to run there in Jerusalem. And she's standing minding her own business at the bus stop. There's quite a few people there also waiting for the bus. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up there and starts up with her. Never saw her before in her life. So it comes up to her and starts screaming at her. And she's stunned, what does she want from me? And it's yelling at her, screaming at her. And it's like, who are you? And if that would have been enough. But then she starts pushing her and starts hitting her and punching her. And she throws her to the ground and starts and jumps on her and starts punching her in the face. Again, she didn't know who this woman was. Obviously, deranged woman, understandably. And it was actually quite strange because the people at the bus stop, everybody was sitting there watching and nobody did anything. Because nobody in their right mind would assume that this woman is being attacked out of nowhere for no reason. So they thought it was some family feud or something. So they didn't want to butt in, you know. Here she is being, kicked and punched. She's bleeding all over the place. And nobody's doing anything. And you can imagine how this woman felt being attacked, in front of everybody. That's all, embarrassment. Finally, she was able to, with her last kochos, push off this woman from her. And just then a bus pulled up. She didn't care which bus number it was. She just jumped on to get away from the crazy woman. And she's bleeding all over. And of course, everybody's staring at her. A terribly, terrible, embarrassing situation. So she didn't know what to do. And, try to find this woman, press charges. At this point, she just wanted to get out of there. So her husband works as a sofer in Yerushalayim. And so she decides to go to her friend's house, forget her errands for now, and just to calm down. She goes to her friend's apartment, and her friend helps her out. So she calls her husband and tells her, crying, telling her what happened today and at the bus stop. So the husband says, okay, just forget about your errands today. Just relax, calm down. And when, you feel up to it, come to the office, to my office where I'm working. He goes, okay. So, of course, the husband was also hurt by the whole scenario. And every now and then, about once a month, where he works, as a sofer, Rav Shammai Gross, the postdoc, he comes into the office there and watches and, looks, answers any shilas that people had in the last while. They put aside for him. So, that day Rav Gross came in, and this the sofer decided to, you know, come up to him and tell him what happened. Said, listen, Rav, that's how your son is really bothering me. Like, how my wife got attacked this morning. And then goes through the whole story. So Rav Gross heard, listens. He says, do me a favor. He says, when your wife comes in, you said she's coming to your the office. She comes down. When she comes in, I want you to both come in to me. I want to tell you something. He says, okay, fine. So sure enough, an hour or so later, whatever, the woman arrives, and she's still calmed down a little bit, and they go into Rav Gross. So Gross says, listen, I want to tell you a mice. Because about a year ago, in Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, there was a big fight between two bachurim. And there was a millionous base manager, big base manager, lots of people. And one bachur, called Ruvain, he's screaming and yelling at Shimon. I'm in the middle of the base manager. Starts off with this, you know, few harsh words, but then he starts screaming louder, and he starts cursing him, really, and giving it to him. In front of everybody, everybody stops learning, looking, watching what's going on. This guy's being, you know, yelled and screamed in front of everybody. Imagine Mavias just, you know, this person barabbing publicly. And so, of course, you know, the Shimon wants to respond and give him back, you know. So all of a sudden, though, this avreich comes up, runs up to Shimon, one that's, you know, being attacked, and he runs up to him, and he says, wait a second, do me a favor. So the bachur's like, what do you mean? He says, listen, he said, I've been married a number of years, and Bryce tells him, I've married a number of years, and unfortunately we haven't had any children. And I see how you're being embarrassed publicly over here, and I know how much you want to really give this guy back right now. So do me a big favor. Can you not give this guy back? Don't say anything. Just hold it in. Conquer your desire to give him back. And in that schut, I want you, B'lei Shalem, to give me that schut that you're going to have for holding yourself back. And then in that schut, I should have a child. So Shimon was like, whoa, you know, he never thought of it like that, you know, holding back, giving a schut, whatever. He says, okay, fine, you got it. I'm not going to say anything. And he did, and he held himself back, and he says, okay, now, but I want your mummy's B'leiv Shalem to give me that schut. So he says, okay, it's yours, B'leiv Shalem, it's yours. So he says, thank you very much. So Rav Gross says, that's a story that happened about a year ago in Bnei Brak. So he says, this morning, I came here from where? From the bris of the son that I very had a year after that mice. So we see a tremendous koach of somebody, you know, that holds himself back, and even though he's embarrassed, he doesn't return it, and it's a tremendous koach. So there's no coincidences in this world. They say in Hebrew, ein mikreh ba'olam. The word mikreh spelled mem kuf resh hey. The same letters as rak mi Hashem. Right? And everything's from Hashem. So he says, interesting, that Dafka today, when I came back from this bris, of this avreich, who got this close from this bachur, held himself back, here you come and tell me about how your wife is embarrassed publicly, and you want to know what you should do. So that's why I'm telling you this story. That, no, you want my advice? Don't do anything. Hold yourself back. I know you'd like to press charges, sign this one, whatever. My suggestion is, mochel her b'leiv shalem, right? Don't say anything, don't do anything, nothing. And that's a tremendous list, like we see from this story. And then you should go home today and think of something you two really, really want and ask Hashem for it. And you'll see that, well, perhaps you'll be blessed with that. So the couple went home, and they had no doubt what they're going to ask for, because they, too, happen to be a childless couple. So they asked Hashem. She was, you know, mochel the woman in her heart, and she says, Hashem, you know, please give me a child. And 9 months later, Rabbi Gross was the son that got the nearby. There's a similar maisa brought son in Leinu L'Shabeach. There was another avreich. He was not the same one. Another avreich who was also childless for a number of years. And him and his wife tried everything, you know, a physical thing, and doctors, and went to tzaddikim for brachos, whatever. And he was a number of times he went into also to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, and asked him for brachas and nates or whatever. And anyways, he went in again one day, and he says, Rebbe, Rav Chaim, yes, Rav Chaim, tell me something, I need something, some eights, we can't go on like this, we want a child so bad. So Rav Chaim said, what an eights, I'll give you an eights. that finds somebody, based on what we say, that finds somebody that is being, you know, attacked, being embarrassed publicly or some effect like that, and doesn't respond, holds it in, conquers his yetzer to return, to give it back, and doesn't say anything. Find such a person and ask him for a bracha. And then, b'zrat Hashem. So the person like, oh, Baruch Hashem, finally I got something, you know, tangible ace I can work with over here. Anytime, no problem, I'll find somebody who holds himself back, whatever, has for a bracha, and then you're out. So, but he thought, not so simple. Okay, you know, it doesn't happen every day that, you know, situations like this occur. Sure enough, he was looking around for a person that held himself back, but the situation didn't come. One day, he was at a chasana. And there's the background. There's a couple of this family feud in Bnei Brak between these two families, and it got really, really messy between these two families. Anyways, this fellow was, you know, looking for a bracha for a child. He happens to go to the chasana of one of these families. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, in walks the person from the other family into the chasana, and he sees, you know, this. And he walks over to this other person there. Hey, he starts giving it to him. You this and you that again. Talmudish in public in front of all the one everybody held against at the chasana, screaming at his person, cursing him. That rush under and everybody. All of a sudden, ding, light bulb lights up and says, ah, opportunity has arisen. And he's giving it, so he saw that the person being yelled and screamed at was like, just like, you know, Ben so far wasn't saying anything, but he was, you know, getting red and red and like he was ready to, you know, explode, you know, so he quickly ran over and he just, wait a minute, don't do anything, don't say anything. He says, what? Excuse me? He says, no, do me a favor, I'll explain to you later, but just don't say anything. Just do me a favor, don't react. So he says, okay. So the guy screaming, yelling, cursing him out. He doesn't say anything. Eventually the guy, you know, got bored of, there was no response, so he just left the house. So he ran. So this person ran up to him, he says, you know, the reason why I asked you not to say anything is because I've been looking for a bracha for a long time. I haven't had children. And I went to Rav Chaim, and he gave me this etza to find somebody who holds himself back. And I've been looking all over. I found this. Here it is, right in front of my eyes tonight at the chasana. So, can you do me a favor? You held yourself back. Give me a nice bracha that I should have a child. So, he says, no problem. He gave him a nice bracha. I'd have a child. 9 months later, he had a child. The Chazal themselves bring out this idea in the passage. Hanelavim veinam olvim shomim cherpasam veinam eshivim osim yava smechim v'yisurim aleim akasuv amer v'oavav ketzeis Hashem es digvura. So that a person who is hanelavim veinam olvim, that they are ashamed, but they don't mali, they don't give back. They accept it and they don't return. They receive a tremendous bracha. So now back to the question at hand. Right? We asked, why, what was the intent of the Ibn Ezra over here? Moshe Rabbeinu gets yelled at, call Israel, hey, how come you took us out of Israel for this? Oh, we're gonna die. And what does it say? Moshe fell on his face, says Ibn Ezra, beard so no. He said, well, of course beard so no. Hello, my, what else? What did he trip? Of course he went on to say. So the idea is, no, Birtzono, what happened over here? Moshe Rabbeinu was also being embarrassed publicly and being yelled at, oh, what did you do taking us out and being attacked by these people? Now, he could have given it back. He could have said, excuse me, you know, and given it back to them. But he didn't. He held himself back, right, like what Tzaddikim do. Didn't return, didn't give it to them. How, and not only that, says the Torah, but he fell on his face. Meaning he had embarrassment to embarrassment. Not enough that he didn't give it back, but he even prostrated himself. He went, fell on his face, prostrated himself, adding embarrassment to embarrassment. And says the Ibn Ezra, pointing out, you might say, okay, maybe, because he's such a meek individual, right? Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, you know, he just fell on his face because he couldn't handle this, you know, being attacked like that or whatever. But what? No, says the Ibn Ezra. He didn't just fall on his face out of God because he was weak. Beard so no. He did it willingly. He knew this idea. He says he knew that's tremendous, tremendous madriga, not only to receive, you know, embarrassment, but to you know, not to respond. But besides that, he added to it, and he just went down on his face. Right? That's the birtono, willing, not because he was a weak individual, because he wanted to portray this idea. And I found it interesting, also by Korach, the same thing. I found it interesting that based on what we said, we pointed out that a person who does this, a person who is ne'lamim ve'lam olvim, who is embarrassed, is ashamed, but doesn't give back, it, we saw it has a tremendous koach, a bracha, we saw from these stories. And what he says comes true, right? His wishes are come true. And so it's interesting because we find it's in the parsha. What happened? Moshe fell on his face, like we said, and birtzono, he held back and he didn't respond. And then what? Just after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Kol Yisrael and said, that's it. I'm going to wipe out the Jewish people for what they're doing, whatever. And then what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He asks on their behalf, request, no, Hashem, don't do it to them, don't destroy them. And what does Hashem say? Salachti ki baracha. Fine. Like you saying, you're asking they should be forgiven, I forgive them. So here we see Moshe Rabbeinu portray this idea, right, of conquering his desire to give back and not doing so. We said, as such a person, a tremendous koach, a bracha. And what he says comes true. That's what happened over here. Moshe Rabbeinu asked something, a request, Hashem, he didn't ask for a child. He asked that Klal Yisrael should be forgiven, and Hashem says, Salachti ki baracha. Right, and we find a reverse by Korah. There, it says also Moshe Rabbeinu, after he was attacked by Korah, birtzono, like the Ibn Ezra says, he prostrated himself, he says, okay, he didn't give back. What do? He just asks Hashem, Hashem, I'll tell you, Fanel bin Chassam. Hashem, don't answer their, when they bring their offering, don't listen, don't answer their offering. What, and Hashem said, fine, you're asking for it, whatever you say, Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't, respond and answer their offering. So we see this, the koach that a person has, who is a ne'elavim and a olvim, that he's listened to, and his, what he, his brachas are brachas, is tremendous koach. So same thinking, just to conclude, what's the mita keneged mita over here? Why is it that dafka, somebody who holds himself back, gets reward, it has a reward that he, his words mean something. When he asks for something, when he gives a bracha, they come true. What's that koach? Why is it? What's the mita keneged mita? So I was thinking that the maisa, many times a person has a right, as we say, mikar hadin. So as the letter of the law goes, you have a right to give back. You don't have to stand there and say, it's like the Christian concept, like turn the cheek, the other cheek, as they say. You get slapped, it's okay, now slap this cheek. You don't have to do that. But a person's attacking, you have a right to defend yourself. You have a right. However, a person who doesn't, therefore, what is he doing? It's a concept we call in Chazal called lifnim mishurat hadin. Right? The din is, the law is, you have a right to respond. But if you want to be a tzaddik, you can go lifnim mishurat, go beyond the letter of the law and not respond. Somebody who does so, what is in effect he's doing? Somebody who does respond, he's basically, what do I call it, playing God. Why? Because when somebody said did something bad to you, or they, what giving him back, it's like you're giving him back. He deserves to be punished, right? You're saying it to me, I'm going to give it to him. Okay? It's like you're punishing the person. That's what God does, right? If somebody has something wrong, Hashem punishes. So by giving the back, this person back, it's like you're punishing, like you're playing God, so to speak. By doing, acting with me, Mishur Tadin, and what are you doing? And you're saying, I'm not going to play God. Hashem will take care, let Hashem punish him. Excuse me. Let Hashem punish him. I'm not gonna play God over here. Ah, so if you're not gonna play God, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem gives you the koach as if you're God. Right? Once God, God can do what he wants. God can give brachas, God can make a kid have a person have a child, right? That's what God does. So if you hold yourself back and don't play God, don't punish the person, don't give him back, you stay away, I'm not gonna play God. Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem's gonna give you the koach, kiviyachol of God. And that your, what you say comes true, and your bracha will come true. I mean, it's a sham. You should take this lesson to heart. Right? It's not easy, and every now and then, you know, some person might attack you, maybe not so in gross terms we mentioned in some of these stories, but sometimes you get stepped on, and you feel like giving back. And like we said, you have a right to give back many times, you know, halachically. But you can be a tzaddik, you can go beyond lifnim mishurat hadin and be of those that are ne'elavim ve'einam olvim, that are embarrassed or whatever, they don't give back. It's hard, but dafka, because it's so hard, we said if you conquer that desire to do so and you hold back, then you have a tremendous, tremendous koach. You have a tremendous koach to ask for things for Kodesh Baruch Hu and give other people brachas like we saw in the story. Because like we said, Mida Kneged Mida, you're not playing God. God Hashem says, okay, now I'll give you the koach of God. I'll give you the koach of brach. Yes, Hashem should use our kokos to conquer our yetzer, our different yetzarim, and this yetzer as well. And if so, Hashem will give us the tremendous kokos of bracha, and the bracha and the desires that we all have, or the main desire is that He should bring soon the Mashiach Tikenu, and here we
Amen.